said to Balaam, they are blessed. Tonight we see even more of God's beautiful promises about his children, his disobedient, trying children. They're still his chosen ones. And you've heard me say this before, but one of the greatest proofs of Old Testament scripture is the existence of Israel. After all these years, they're still the most hated nation on earth, but they still exist. And how many nations are gone, but Israel is still here. Notice verse 1. Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure the Lord will come to meet me. And whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee. And he went to an high place. And God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? And Balak said unto him, come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see but the utmost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built 7 altars, and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balak, stand here by thy burnt offering, while I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, go again unto Balak, and say thus. When he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable, and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion, and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey, and drink the blood of the slain. So I'm going to take my title from verse 23, what hath God wrought? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for the beautiful promises and lessons that you've written for us, Lord, of old time, that we, through the comfort of the scriptures, might have patience and hope. And we just pray, Lord, that we would learn tonight what a great God you are, a promise-keeping God. And Lord, may we grow through it. So may the Holy Spirit guide us in truth and speak to each heart personally. We ask in Christ's beautiful name. Amen. If you remember last week at the end of chapter 22, this place where they built the 7 altars, did you see that it was the high places of Baal? So let's not forget that this first set of altars, and when he went to God and he said, I've built 7 altars, God didn't even respond to that, did he? Because God doesn't care about the altars. And these altars were not in accordance with Scripture at all. They were built in a place that was dedicated to Satan. But often, false religions try to take on the outward signs and terminology of Christianity. but that doesn't make them biblical. Anyway, we see here that verse 4, I prepared 7 altars. God didn't even respond. God is not interested in our service if there's pride involved. We kind of talked about this in Potatadu today. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So anyway, verse 8, he says, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? This is a beautiful picture of Christians as well, as we will see, that you and I, though we may sin every day, though we may fail God every day, when God looks at us, he sees sinless people. And that is because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ applied and imputed to our account. This is a beautiful picture of that, isn't it? That when it's God's chosen people, it's God's chosen people. You can't curse them. Verse 9, for from the top of the rocks I see him, from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. This might just sound like a simple Bible verse, but what it is saying is that Israel will always be separate. Has anyone ever met a Canaanite or a Moabite or a Perizzite or a Jebusite? Nope. They're all gone. But we've met Jews, haven't we? We've met Aussie Jews. We've met Kiwi Jews. We've met American Jews. There's German Jews. Yeah, they may be dispersed, but they're still Jews. They've never lost their national heritage after 3,000 years since this prophecy was given. They're still here. Like I said, that is one of the most beautiful promises and truths that proves Scripture, proves Old Testament prophecy, is the existence of Israel. And of course, in 1948, they were restored as a nation. They got some land. And the prophecy of Ezekiel 37 about the dry bones began to come true. But their last end, verse 10, what is the last end of a child of God? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And as he says here, let me die the death of the righteous. That doesn't talk about our behavior, our works. It's talking about imputed righteousness. Let me die the death of the righteous, because the death of the righteous is just a graduation to glory. And God's going to win in the end, as we see here. So he tried and he failed. He went a second time. And, you know, verse 13, Balak said, come, I pray thee, to another place. Surely, if we change locations, maybe I can get you to curse Israel. He thought, well, maybe that might help, but it didn't. And the Lord put a word in his mouth yet again. And I know many of you probably have verse 19 as a memory verse. If you don't, it's a great memory verse. If you could only memorize one verse out of the book of Numbers, it'd be 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken and shall he not make it good? So some things we see in this beautiful opportunity of Balaam is God cannot lie. Amen? That's a beautiful truth. God cannot lie. God keeps his promises. It tells us in Titus 1:2, God that cannot lie. James 1:17 says, in God there is no variableness. God cannot lie. He will keep his promises. And I hope that you have some promises in your back pocket that you take with you wherever you go. I don't mean your literal back pocket, but in your heart. And you claim those. Amen? And we've talked about it before, but there are so many in the Scriptures. Let's just quote a few. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee desires of thine heart. That's a blessing, isn't it? Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Last Sunday, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me. And I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'm sure you've all heard of John 3:16. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and so forth. I will come again and receive you unto myself. We know that all things work together for good. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. My God shall supply all your need. And we could go on and on. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The first thing we see in this beautiful discourse, number one, God cannot lie. God will always keep his promises. And that's verse 19. The second thing we see in verse 20 is that God's word cannot be reversed. Look at that. Behold, I've received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. I love that. You cannot undo or reverse God's word. Now, professors have been trying for years to undo the word of God, but they'll answer to God for that someday. God said, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall abide forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word of the Lord endureth forever, we're told in 1 Peter 1:25. So we see that God cannot lie, and that God's word cannot be reversed. That's some good news for us, isn't it? That's God's children. Verse 21, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. Think about that statement. As wicked as they've been, as we've gone through Exodus and Leviticus and now Numbers, all the times that they've challenged Moses, that they've murmured against God, and God says, he hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob. What is he teaching us? He's teaching us about imputation, imputed righteousness. That a sinner who's saved might still need chastisement, but we will still stand before God sinless. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so God saves, and when he does, he imputes his righteousness. He can't lie. His word cannot be reversed. But look at verse 21 again. The Lord his God is with him, talking about Israel. And if you're a child of God, God is with you. Amen. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord is on my side, David said, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? So God is always with his children. And then I love verse 23. There is no enchantment against Jacob. Now Balaam wants to give an enchantment against Jacob, but God never lets him get away with it, does he? He's going to try three times. What does that teach us as God's children? Yes, he keeps his promises. His word cannot be reversed. And he imputes his righteousness, and he's always with us, but he also will protect us because he is on our side. Amen. David said, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. And look at Isaiah 54:17, if you would. But what we see here, there is no enchantment against God's people. God never leaves us. God is always with us. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord. Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? And 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so just in those four verses, we see God cannot lie. God's word cannot be reversed. God saves and imputes his righteousness. God is always with his children, and he will protect his children, just like he promised here to protect Israel. But he doesn't only protect his children. Look at verse 23. According to this time, it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? God also preserves his people. When he made that statement, he meant for it to last for eternity. What hath God wrought? He's talking about Israel. What hath God? God created Israel. God rescued Israel from Egypt. And God has protected them as a nation. Yes, they've gone through heaps of chastisement, but he's never allowed them to be destroyed. Hitler sure tried, and they're still here. What hath God wrought? It's one of the greatest proofs of Scripture. History has shown that any people who leave their homeland, and this has been shown over and over again through history, will lose their national identity in five generations. And it's been proven over and over again, except for Israel. They've never lost their national identity. When the recent war started, what happened? Jews started flying over there in droves to fight. They're still Jews. They may live in other countries. They may not even speak Hebrew anymore, but they still identify as Jews. And that's what God meant when he said, "What hath God wrought?" We've never heard of a Swedish Moabite or a Russian Philistine or a German Edomite. But we have heard of a Swedish Jew and a Russian Jew and a German Jew. They never lost their identity. What hath God wrought? Well, we can bring that forward to us. And just as God promised to preserve Israel as a nation, and they will get their kingdom. We don't know when, but it will happen. God has promised to preserve us. Hallelujah. Look at Jude 1 and we'll see this. Jude verse 1. God will preserve his children. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Preserved in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." John 11:26. When you get saved, you're a new creation. Amen? You're God's creation. You're God's recreation. And he promises to preserve his recreation. So just in the midst of these four verses, we have all of these amazing truths about God and God's people. He cannot lie. His word cannot be reversed. He imputes his righteousness to his people. He is with them and he will protect them and preserve them. And that statement, "What hath God wrought," has carried on for 3,000 years through the existence of Israel. Now, you've heard me say it before, of the, I forget what they call them, but the UN is always making their resolutions. Over 50% of them are against Israel. This tiny little thing, if you look at a world map, you can barely find it on the map. It's so small. But the world hates Israel. Well, we shouldn't. They are still God's people. So pray for them and know that what hath God wrought? God started Israel. God will finish Israel. They will get their kingdom. It will be a Jewish kingdom ruled by a Jewish Jesus Christ, guided by the Jewish word of God. Never forget that. And all of these beautiful promises, now you and I get to claim them too, because we have been grafted in. What hath God wrought? And when we stand before God after we get through the judgment, we will fall on our faces. Amen. And we will say a similar thing. Look at it in Revelation chapter 4. We will be nothing but grateful for the salvation that God has given us. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Verse 10. "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Chapter 5, verse 12. "Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is under heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." That's a glimpse of us in heaven. Saying, "God, you're amazing. Look what you've done. You're worthy of all honor and glory and praise because of who you are and what you've done. Thank you, Lord." And one day Israel will say the same. When they get their kingdom, when they've survived, the remnant has survived the tribulation, they will say the same. That God is worthy. They will recognize Jesus the second time. In the meantime, what hath God wrought? Every time you see Israel on the news, remember that statement. What hath God wrought? They're still in Israel. After Nero, after Hitler, after Palestine, and we could go on. They're still in Israel, and there always will be. Why? Because that was God's choice. When he created them in Genesis chapter 12, he made them a promise. And that promise still stands true today. That they will never be destroyed. And those who bless them will be blessed. And those who curse them will be cursed. That is still true today. What hath God wrought? Aren't you thankful God preserves us? Imputes his righteousness unto us. Is always with us. No matter what we go through. He allows it. But he is there beside us. And he promises to always keep his promises. His word cannot be reversed. How blessed are we? What hath God wrought? Let's pray. Lord, we are just beyond blessed to be your children. Thank you for saving us through the blood of our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, thank you for imputing to us the righteousness of our Savior. And Lord, granting unto us a copy of your precious and preserved and perfect word. I pray we'll be in it, Lord, that we will live the promises in it. And Lord, we will trust you as we go through this life, knowing that you're with us and that the devil can't get to us. Lord, that we will see you again in heaven one day and we can't wait. Until then, may we be faithful. May we serve you. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.